Before we open God's word, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee again in this afternoon, round about thy precious word. We pray that thou would open our hearts as we bring them before thee in humility and willingness to serve, and ask that thou would impart unto us a blessing. We believe, Lord, that in thy word there is an abundance of blessing according to the riches that are to be found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, please help us to remove from our hearts that which would keep our hands in our pockets and keep us from extending our hands to receive thy blessing. Open our hearts and may it be a good ground for thy word to reside and bring forth fruit to thy honor and glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us turn together to the Word of God contained in Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. I desire just to read a few verses here from verse 13 to 15. Luke 16, verses 13 to 15.
Nađeno je iz Evanđelja po Luci 16. glava, 13., 14. i 15. broj.
Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all kneel in prayer before our God. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that Jesus Christ brought light and immortality, life and immortality to light through the gospel. His words are recorded for us to show what's truly happening in the spiritual realm around us and what will take place for eternity. And Jesus describes here a battle. There's a battle and there's a battleground. There's two sides, God and Satan, God and this world, God and the flesh, and their enemies, and they're fighting for your soul. Do you know that your soul is a battleground? Do you know that there are words that are calling to beckon you to obey a master? That's not a very popular thing to say. Nobody thinks that they're anyone's servant today. Everyone is their own man. They can choose their own destiny. And they're in control. But that's not what Jesus explains. We are a servant to one of two masters. If you don't believe me, that's okay. But believe what you've read. Believe the words of Jesus Christ. There's two, and we cannot serve both at the same time. This also is an unpopular viewpoint, because everyone likes to have their cake and eat it too, to enjoy the pleasures of fellowship in a church, but also to enjoy the pleasures of indulgence of the flesh. And besides, I can get away with it. And nobody seems to give me a hard time. And so, yeah, I can. Yeah, I can do that. Forget about this preacher that's saying you can't serve God and mammon. And you know what? That's exactly what the Pharisees had going through their hearts and minds. How do we know? Because Jesus could see into their hearts and minds. And it explains here that they were covetous. These were the children of Abraham. These were the ones that were supposed to be the called out and separated unto God. They were the ones who were supposed to find all of their needs and desires in the Lord their shepherd. And I shall not want. But someone had convinced them, you need a little bit more. You need something else, and it's not for you, but you need to seek it, and you need to obtain it. That root of bitterness and covetousness worked within their hearts. And they who studied the law and the word, when they saw the word of God, who has made flesh standing before them and proclaiming the truth, they said, oh, that nothing? They derided him. And that's what the world does today. They see a group of people gathering together to worship the Lord, to express thankfulness for the sacrifice that Jesus has made on our behalf, that we could be forgiven for our sins, and that we know that God loves us, and that we need Him. And they say, that? Oh, that nothing? That minuscule, worthless, outdated, tired, old story again? It's for souls that are tired. It's for souls that are weary. It's for souls that have found that this world cannot satisfy. But those that want something a little more, want something a little extra, they won't be satisfied with it. Jesus said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. In front of their peers and in front of men, they appeared very good, well-standing citizens, upright. They did the right things. They even impressed some people with the way that they could speak, the way that they could serve, and the way that they could live. But God knows your heart. And all the boasting stops there. And all of the praying starts there. Is what this person that's standing in front of me saying, is that the truth? Does God really know everything that went on in my heart? Does he see how weak I really am and how much I need him? The word says yes, he does. and that He has provided all that we have need of so that we can overcome, so that we can be victorious through Him, not apart from Him, but only when we are relying in trust and love, as the brother prayed, a pure heart that loves God and seeks the things that are highly esteemed of God, yet scorned and put down by the world. Scorn the world. Put it behind your back. Who cares what they say? It's the Word of God before us. It's Jesus' words before us and His commands that mean everything. What did He ask you to do? What is highly esteemed before God? There were those that were curious and asked Jesus, "What is that greatest commandment?" And Jesus replied, "It is to love the Lord your God with everything that you are. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself." This is highly esteemed before God. And on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. We want a more fulfilling life as believers, in service, in our walk, our conversation as we heard this morning, in holiness. When we value the thing that Jesus said was valuable, what do we lack? Is your desire a holy walk with God? One that is separated unto Him in every aspect. Is there anything that you lack in that great commandment to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor? To be reconciled to God, to be reconciled to your neighbor. All of the Word of God is comprehended in that. But we pass it off as, "Oh, I've heard that before." Wrong attitude completely. Take it to heart. God says this is important. Though we've heard it before, it is important. Imagine if you fulfilled it. Imagine if all your closest friends fulfilled it and made that their priority. How would it change their lives? How would it change your life? It's not a small thing. It's a great thing. The Pharisees weren't content with that, though. They wanted something a little bit more. What were the Pharisees interested in? Well, Jesus spoke to us about their priorities. He said that the Pharisees claimed that if you swear by the temple, no big deal. But if you swear by the gold in the temple, oh, you're a debtor. If you swear by the altar, we'll give you a pass. But if you swear by the sacrifice or the gift that's on the altar, no, 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 no. They were interested in the trappings and the gifts, the material possessions. The temple signified God's presence and His coming to meet with the people. And based on Jesus' scathing rebuke, they did not value that. Is it a thing of value when we come together with a heart of humility, seeking the Lord and His righteousness and His kingdom? And we come together with hearts of worship. Or is it more important what time we do it? And the altar, that place, they would come and they would bring the goat or the sheep, whatever it was. It would be sacrificed and they would make confession of their sin. Is it more important to keep appearances or to make confession of sin and reconciliation? What is the heart of God? And what is highly esteemed before God should be very highly esteemed before us. And those tokens of the temple and the altar, beloved, they're foreshadowing the work of Jesus Christ and the reconciliation that He brings. Let us never undervalue what He has done for us. His death on the cross. Let's not put it aside as something that we've heard before. The battle for your soul is being waged there. Are you picking up the shield of faith? Are you putting on the helmet of salvation? Are you taking that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, into the battle? Do you have the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? And your loins girt about with truth? Do you have that belt and foundation of truth of the Word of God? So that your soul and your life will not be tossed about with every new fad, the popular things that the winds and the screaming voices will keep on bringing. Listen to the still small voice. Listen to what He's saying to you right now about how He wants you to live, about how He wants you to be occupied, about how to be a blessing in your family, in your congregation, to your neighbors, in your community. To love one another, you will find a fulfillment of every end that you can imagine that is noble and good and just. Some like to emphasize perhaps the lifestyle and the holy life. And that will be fulfilled in loving the Lord and loving one another. Some perhaps maybe put an emphasis on witnessing and reaching the lost. And what does the Word tell us? That the world will know that you are My disciples by the programs that you have? By the way that you organize each other? No. By the way that you love one another. By the way that you love one another. By the way that you give for one another. By the way that you're willing to be sacrificed and be spent for one another. The world will know, and you'll be successful in that goal that you had of reaching someone who is looking for a genuine faith. Because you allowed Jesus Christ to demonstrate it through your life. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. As I stand before you, those of you who do not know the Lord, I do not want you to be abomination before God because you pursued the things that were unworthy, that were unholy, that were unsatisfying. What do you want for your soul? Do you want to be made pure? Do you want to be made right in the sight of God? There's one hanging on a cross for you. And he is lovely, and he is perfect, and he's everything that you need. And he offers you forgiveness, and that you would not have to be ashamed, but that you would claim him as your one love and your one Lord, as your one hope for eternal life, and that you would never depart from his side, even in the hour of death. And you will be gloriously ushered in by the promises of God's holy word, that those who believe, that those who would put their faith in Jesus Christ would be able to receive eternal life through his word. And you will enjoy the presence of your Savior for eternity. And you will not share in the destiny of abomination. You will have a hope that the world has never given or experienced and cannot take away. And you will look at people who are disgruntled and discouraged and angry and looking for something, and you will show them the smile that the Lord has put on your face, because you can sing a song. And I know it's a song that the children sing, but maybe it's just a simple song that we need to put into our hearts and remind our souls. I am Jesus' little lamb, therefore glad at heart I am. My good shepherd watches o'er me, and he tenderly cares for me, knows me, loves me, ere the same, even calls me by my name. Underneath his gentle rod, I have ever safely trod. When I hunger, Jesus leads me to green pastures where he feeds me. When I thirst, he lets me go where the waters softly flow. Shall I then not happy be? Jesus loves me tenderly. And when this short life is ended, by his holy angels tended, I'll be carried to the skies to dwell with him in paradise. May God bless his word.
His heart. And so Jesus spoke to the Pharisee, and he heard what Jesus said about you cannot serve two masters. And it says that you will hate one and love the other and so on, but you can't serve them both. And the Pharisee thought that he could, and oftentimes we think we can. And Jesus said, it is not possible. And so they laughed at him. It tells the word is actually said that they derided him. They derided him when he was on the cross also. which literally means to turn your nose up at them. So Jesus spoke to them because he knew their heart, and he talked right to them. And they turned their noses up at him, saying that, you know, you're just jealous, basically. That's what they're saying. Because you don't have anything, you're jealous what we have. And Jesus was revealing to them heavenly truths. And they couldn't stand it. They hated him for it. And he goes on, because it says he knew their hearts. And he knows our hearts. He knows mine and he knows yours. The hard, hard thing, dear ones, for us to try to balance serving God and mammon. You'll never succeed. The things that are highly, highly esteemed by man. He's speaking about money here. You know, do we highly esteem the billionaires? You know, if for a moment we would think, wow, they have it made. These rich men have it made. We're just as lost as they are. We're just as lost. We have Christ. And we're going to look at and esteem something which Jesus says God is disgusted with those things. It's an abomination. He's disgusted with those things. And so how much is enough? What's enough to store? Would Jesus sit on billions of dollars? Would the apostles sit on billions of dollars and millions? How many hundreds of thousands is enough? And Jesus tells the story of the man who said, you've got it made. Knock down the barns. Build bigger ones. He goes, you're a fool. You're a fool. He says to him, you're a fool. And we look at him and we're going to esteem it as something great. If we do, dear ones, we don't know Jesus. And so, as the hymn that we sang, where the treasure is in heaven. That's the treasure. The treasure is in heaven. The heart has to be there. We want to invest in the world and get the treasure that is in heaven. We have to invest in heaven to get the treasure there. And so may we recognize those things, dear ones, every one of us. Whenever we make an investment, what is it for? The hardest thing to do is to be approached by anyone, like Jesus did the Pharisees, and told them, you cannot serve God and mammon. Immediately, oh, you're jealous. Oh, you don't have it. You don't have anything, so you're just, that's because you don't have anything. And Jesus was revealing heavenly truths. It's all about the heart, dear ones. You can't serve God and mammon. It's not possible. Let's not try. But if we serve God, we will realize that to make the investment into the treasures that are in heaven, we need to spend everything here. We need to give all. And God will repay us with that which the world has nothing to give. We sang the song, I love that verse. All the world can give us is husks despoiled by mold. Let's not be fooled, deceived by the deceiver, the liar. To follow those things, they're just husks. And not even husks, they're despoiled by mold. But the truths that are found in Christ Jesus, dear ones, demands of us a change of heart, a new man. He can give that to us. He can give it to us if we seek him. Amen.